Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling, every day.
Darkness is your ally. You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
Because when he has been in the bright lights and enjoying his time, having fun and lapping it up, no problem, you're the big celebrity. You're in the bright lights, I've been in the dark, in the trenches, in the gym.
TheBoxingVoice.com.
And the new IBO, WBA, WBC franchise, called Ring Magazine. People ask me, when does Camp start? Camp started as soon as I bet TV from my Lopez. As soon as I batted him and took all his belts, Camp started the next day.
Ah, what a right hand from George Campbell!
He's a good villain, though.
He is.
Could have fought anybody. Lomachenko, Devin Haney. Unfortunately, Lomachenko's not available. Beautiful. Devin Haney, step up. Now we'll take your belt.
This is Sparta!
SDS Promotions.
But he says, finish his fight as a king. What's a king to an emperor?
You are now locked into the Boxing Voice live from Las Vegas with Nesta Gibbs and Ringwalk Danny.
Let's start with this. I'm a creative genius.
SDS. SDS.
And now, the most dangerous producer on YouTube, Brandon in Houston.
Brandon.
You're now locked into the king of all boxing podcasts, The Boxing Voice. Jab that like button.
TheBoxingVoice.com.
What is it? Is it that they don't like the Charlotte?
You like the Charlotte?
The unified WBA, WBC, and IBF 154-pound champion of the world.
I'm happy, not angry, I'm passionate.
The WBC middleweight champion of the world.
No, I think you're a great fighter. And
I
like,
know that. Yeah. I know that already. They say, oh, the Charlotte ain't fought nobody. Duh, because I ain't gonna fight them. Fighters, come on, step up and win that shit. Come on, let's go.
Like I said, I went to the top already. I seen the bottom before. At the top, I seen the bottom. I went back down to the bottom and shot back the fuck back up. Now what they mad at me for?
Not like old school boxing. Where the best fight the best no more. It's about politics. It's about who you know, who you are, if you got a crowd behind you.
Sit your ass in your weight division and see if you can beat one of them. Cause fucking with me, you gonna get knocked the fuck out. I'm a knockout on this, baby.
If we stand by lines only, just like we made this up, we gonna ride with it. We're gonna ride with it since the day we die.
Jermell. Jamal. Charlo.
What up, what up, what up, what up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. This is your weekend recap, and boy, did we have a great weekend. If you're a boxing fan, you were tuned in to some international events that took place. We had the return of Mauricio Lara taking on Lee Wood. And we also had Fernando Lopez taking on Mick Collin over across the pond. And here in the States, Anthony Juice Young attempted to dethrone Alexis Rocha, who's up next. So this is what we'll be talking about this weekend, plus some of the news and notes, specifically Oscar De La Hoya and Rolly Romero meeting up at Oscar's Golden Boy show in California, where Alexis Rocha fought Anthony Young. Outside of that, we'll touch a little bit on Eddie Hearn negotiating a Regis Prograis fight with Devin Haney. And we'll talk all this weekend's fights. Hopefully you watch the Puerto Riqueño. I believe it's not Luis Collazo. I think it's Oscar Collazo. I have to check. But, you know, he has is either Collazo or Collazo. It could be the same shit, but whatever. You know, he became 105-pound champ in about 7 fights, which was impressive. I watched it. But this is what we're talking about, real hardcore boxing. You know, there wasn't any big names on this weekend that, you know, will do 1.2 million pay-per-view buys or anything like that. So if that's what you were looking for this weekend, those guys, those names didn't fight. But the rest of the world did tune in into the welterweight fight that took place with Alexis Rocha, since he's up next in the WBO. And a lot of the world tuned in into the, you know, Lee Wood fight, right? Lee Wood, you know, he put on a great performance in his fight this past weekend versus Mauricio Lara. So we'll start there. I spoke specifically, and you know, Jay, I'm just, you know, I spoke specifically to Jay, and he's like, damn, I lost big on the parlays, on the betting this week. And I see someone else said, yo, parlay got killed. That's another Jay, too. That's what a coincidence, because Jay, my editor, also got killed. But this is what I'll say. I gave you guys winners. You just bet them exactly like me. That's why I said, don't go off my betting slip. Listen to the sound coming out of my voice. Now, if you would have listened to the sound coming out of my voice, you would have noticed that on the betting show, Danny basically debated me out of the Lee Wood decision. If you listened, you seen I came into that day, into that show, Lee Wood, Lee Wood, Lee Wood and Ben Davidson, they're doing their research. I seen a video with Lee Wood and Ben Davidson watching tape. I said, bro, Ben Davidson loves to watch tape. We know that from our time with Bill. Lee Wood, Lee Wood. Yeah, but Jay, if you listen, you heard me say Lee fucking Wood. But what did Danny say? Nah, Laura, Laura, Laura by knockout. I'm telling you, Laura by knockout. Cool. I roll with my dude, but y'all heard what I said, and I was motherfucking right. So, I also told you Jack Catterall, Jay. That's the thing. Like, you can't copy my parlay because I bet my way. You feel me? So, you know, that's why I make those parlays, Jay. You've seen how much I bet. But I gave the Catterall pick. He definitely got the decision. Terry Harper got the decision. There was definitely a lot of people that I gave good picks on. Unfortunately, my actual parlay was destroyed. Shout out to Lawrence Okolie that got bodied, right? What the fuck, man? But anyway, moving on. Lee Wood lost his WBA featherweight title by 7th round knockout to Mauricio Lara back in February. Now, I met Lee Wood in person and had a great conversation with him. You know, we spoke, and I knew he was a boxer. Again, this is why I wanted to pick him. I knew he was a boxer, and I figured he'd get it right. Obviously, what I had issues with was he would keep his left hand up and still, wait, right hand up, and still get hit with the fucking left hook in that first fight. He boxed beautifully the second fight. You know, I do think it was a little bit more Laura than it was Wood, because Wood was really using that jab, and he was just kind of like, it wasn't a really get him off me jab. It was more like, hey, this hand is here. It's a range finder. Here it is. Here it is. You know, he was like tapping on the door, knock, knock. I mean, look, he got the win. Whatever. He got the win. And it doesn't matter. He moves on. But he made it look very easy. And I didn't think it would look as easy as it did based off of that first fight. That first fight, again, he was hitting hit even with his hands up. So it was interesting. But I like Wood for many reasons. Obviously, the main one being boxer first. Secondly, he stuck with Ben Davidson, even when Ben Davidson was taking a lot of heat and criticism for, you know, throwing in that towel. And he was heavily criticized for that, you know. But he knew his man had a rematch. He knew him and his man could come up with the game plan and do it again the second time around. And that they did. It proved to be the right call because Wood and Laura in that sequel, obviously it was a one-sided fight for me. Pretty much Wood just went in there and reclaimed his title. I definitely lost this week, not last week. Not last week. I'll show you my slip right now, so I don't know what you're talking about, Champy. You're wrong on that. I lost this week. I won't deny that, you know, because of the way that I picked my parlays. But look at my slips. Look at my slips and see how many winners I picked. I mean, no one could pick a Coley to lose. Fuck out of here, you know. And if you did, shout out to you. That's called picking an underdog. You know, you got an upset win. Like, Lord have mercy. You know, everybody wants to win every single time. But Wood scored a knockdown in the second round, and he easily outboxed his way to a decision. The scores were 118-109, 118-109, 116-111. Obviously, the title was vacant because Laura missed weight horribly, right? He missed weight, I believe. He was 129.8 pounds, and the limit is 126. He's got to be under 26. So the British Boxing Board of Control did not allow him to even try to shed the weight, which I didn't like. That seemed pretty weird. Call it deeming it unsafe. Like, the sanctioning body should be the one to say that. You know, not anyone else. But Wood and Ben Davidson decided to fight anyway, even though Laura was so much overweight. So credit to them. Again, another gamble. That paid off. The rematch, throwing in the towel gamble, paid off. Oscar is your glove winner. We're sending it out. He already gave his address. We're sending it out. And we'll pick a new glove. We'll just go ahead and do the BOMAC. We got the BOMAC. Since it's a Crawford fight, we'll do BOMAC and Keyshawn. And the Roy Jones is being mailed out mañana. So next up is the BOMAC McIntyre glove, also Keyshawn. Davis signed it. So a couple of gambles paid off for Ben Davidson and Lee Wood. They live to fight another day, and they fight at 126 pounds. So let's just pull up our rankings and see, you know, before we move on to the other fights, what's out there, because I didn't quite understand the post-fight. I did hear Wood say, you know, just make the fight. You know what I want. I don't know what fight that is, but I'll look at these rankings here and see what could be the most simple for, you know, Matchroom to do. So Lee Wood is the WBA. Luis Lopez is probably going to fight Robese. So I don't know what fight Lee Wood is talking about, because it can't be with Ray Vargas, who's probably still with PBC some way. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Josh Warrington? Maybe it's something domestic? I'm not sure. But maybe it's Lee Wood versus Raymond Ford. But I don't know why Lee Wood would be wanting that unless he wants to come to America. You know, I don't know. So we will have to wait. Maybe one of you guys heard specifically who he asked Eddie to make the fight for. Oh, Lewis Neary called him out. I mean, all right. Nothing big there. I mean, it'll be a good fight. Neary, you know, Neary is pretty wide with his punches. Lee Wood is nice and down the pipe. So, yeah, you know, I wouldn't mind that fight for Wood. Moving on. Well, actually, let me be. Who else was on that card? Did I even watch anything else on that card? I might have to pull it up. Yes, the Jack Catterall fight we have to talk about. I mean, he got the decision. I was in and out, you know. I knew Catterall would get the decision. I pretty much don't have a lot to say about that. But I'll check who else was on the card just to announce results. Give me a second here as I'm going to the event on BoxRec. Yeah, Catterall got the decision, which we knew when we bet on. Terry Harper got the decision, which we knew when we bet on. Danny Ball, the other Ball, though, wait, that's what we have to report on. What, didn't two Balls fight this weekend? Shit. Because I don't think it was, was it Danny Ball? Let me check the guy he fought, because I watched the fight. So, all right, so it got to be this one. Is it this guy? No. All right, so there was another Ball that fought last night, and, man, he sent somebody to the hospital after the fight. Dude's still in the hospital. It happened on in the UK. I watched it. This kid Ball is very small, and bro, this other dude was very tall. It was so weird watching a shorter dude, you know, stalk the bigger man around the ring all day. But that's basically it for the Laura Wood card. We'll move on to the Mick Conlin and Vinaldo Lopez. Now, I'll be honest. I told my betting people to pick against Lopez. I watched them spar. I didn't say this on the show. Obviously, I said it on the betting show. And I made it clear that I myself was taking a gamble, right? Because I had watched them spar one day, three different people. So I made my pick based off that. It didn't work out. Almost did. Almost did. Nick Ball was the other guy. Thank you, brother. It almost worked out. Conlin was doing his thing, but then he just, you know, you've seen it from the opening bell. He was throwing with too much velocity on those punches. He didn't want to be a boxer first, and he really ruined his opportunity. Now he gets knocked out by Lee Wood and Vinaldo Lopez. That's his fault. He was doing well. He's not disciplined. He's not disciplined. You know, if you, yeah, I seen a scrappy fight, bro. I'm a fucking hardcore. What's wrong with you? Listen. He's not disciplined. If he was disciplined, he would have fucking beat Vinaldo Lopez. He is not disciplined. Shame on him, an Olympian, bro. You know, you beating this dude. He can barely cut the distance on you without selling out. And what do I mean by selling out? Lopez and Laura. Lopez and Mauricio Laura both had to jump in on some fucking weird shit. Like, bro, nobody's jumping in the way those two dudes was jumping in, getting countered left and right. Bro. It's Conlin's fault, man. I don't even know who the fuck. I thought I seen Peter Fury not in the corner, but kind of like in the on that side where Conlin was. But I could be wrong. I don't know who his trainer is. And I don't think a trainer is going to help, because if you listen to the betting show, going into that fight, I said Conlin's chinny. And he's always been chinny. You know what I'm saying? I only rode with his ass because I seen Vinaldo look like dog shit in sparring. And I'm talking dog shit. I'm talking dudes. Listen, he looked so bad that I'm going to show y'all Coach Flick post, right? Coach Flick, I felt like, was talking to me because he knew I seen the sparring and maybe I said something I thought I didn't say. What do I mean by that? Maybe I did say on the show that I seen him sparring, which I thought I didn't, right? I kept it to myself and only said it on the betting show. Maybe I didn't, but look at this post. Because he definitely talking to somebody here.
Hey, it's over! Let's fucking go! Make some fucking game! Stop fucking playing! Nigga!
it's shorter. I mean, he said at the end, he says something like, you know, they was talking all that shit. They said he wasn't ready. So I don't know. Maybe he shortened it. Maybe it's another video. Maybe it was on a story. You know Ness is on anything fucking smoking. But point is, in that gym, he jumping around, and I seen Ronaldo. Look, I seen him get hands put on him. You feel me? So I didn't know. I gambled on a hunch. You know, and Lopez got the win. But look, we all seen it. Lopez is not that dude. You know, anybody that's a boxer is going to outbox the shit out of him. But you got to be disciplined because he's going to drag you into a fight. That's the Mexican style. You know what I mean? But it should be Ronaldo Lopez and Robese next. Let me see if Robese posted it on Instagram. I think he posted it on Twitter. I'm not sure. But definitely he says something about him and those two, you know, them two having some sort of collision course here. So let me just check here on his social media. See if he got anything on the store. Yes, here we go.
Ligas por todos ellos, los que estén ahí, agárrense.
I'm going to take the whole 26 pound. I'm going to take the whole division.
Un verdadero campeón de verdad.
I'm a true champion.
Y viva México. Agárrense las 126 libras por todos ellos, los que estén ahí.
He said, you know, agárrense los 126 libras porque vengo por ahí. I think he said sellos. But basically, he's saying he's coming for all the champs. You know what I'm saying? So Ribise is without a doubt.
Agárrese la
Houston. And the new WBO.
So, oh, look. And Ribise also posted the Puerto Rican Oscar. Is this the one about this? I think this is the one I was telling y'all about. Oscar. Yep. Why they got Manuel? I thought his name was Collazo. The fuck? My man, this is what I'm saying about these boxers. Look, his last name is Collazo, but his fucking name on Instagram is Manuel. Someone help me, man. Someone help me. But anyway, we'll be talking about him later. Oops, I wasn't even following. We'll be talking about him later as he was on that Golden Boy card. We haven't gotten to that just yet in the show. But, you know, I just wanted to show you that. So it looks like Top Rank is definitely going to be doing Robese and Ronaldo Lopez next, and they should. If they want Robese to be a unified champ, they should absolutely do that. This is a FTWR shirt, as you can see, and I'll put the link in the chat. Salute to you, Hawaiian Punch. Yo, that's so funny. Check this out. Oh, shit. Look, Angel Cake, Hawaiian Punch Rain Premium. Shout out Hawaiian Punch. I just smoked some of you today. Nah, but I get this from FTWR. Obviously, they are our merch distributor. And there's actually some new designs that are going to go live. There's some Mexican, you know, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Dominican, and American designs. So stay up to date. Click that link. I'm dropping it right now in our live chat, and I do appreciate the support for not only wanting to buy the shirt, but also for the $2 Super Chat Hawaiian Punch. Yes, this is a FTWR shirt. It's Mexico, la tierra de los campeones. It's the dirt of the champions, the land of the champions. It really translates to land, but the literal translation is obviously dirt, which, whatever. All right, so we talked Ronaldo Lopez and what's next for him. And let's just go to that event and make sure we're not leaving anyone out before we move on. But if you want to support the show absolutely free, go ahead and smash the thumbs up button. If you're listening on Twitter Spaces, go ahead and retweet the space. That's going to let more boxing fans know that we're rocking and rolling and doing our thing 7 days a week, giving you your weekend recap. While everybody's watching foosball or some other ball, we're here talking about Nick Ball, huh? Some boxing. So Nick Ball put Lud Moon. All right, let's just get my man's in him to say it. Let's see what he says. Give me 1 second. Lodumo. Lodumo Lamadi. So shout out to Lodumo. And hopefully he recovers well because he was sent to the hospital after his fight with Nick Ball. Nick Ball KO'd him in 12. He was chasing him around. It was crazy. Anything on FTWR, you'll get 15% off if you use my link and if you use the code TBV. You can buy shirts from everybody. Plus, they got that new WBC gold one. I haven't even gone there yet. Let me show you that in a sec. They got that new FTWR WBC collab. I told them, send me that ASAP because that shit is fire. But anything on their site, you get the 15% off using our code. And if you go to their site, you only get 10% off for rocking with them. You get an extra. See, like, look, I got this one right here, the King Mike Tyson. I got that. You know, you could get any of these, you know. But they got a whole bunch. Look, Jamel Herron, Xander Zayas, you know, Gabriel Flores, everybody, man. Look, Ebony Bridges is there. Look at all the stuff they have, you know. And then where's the athletes? All the athletes, boxing athletes, WBC collection. This is what I want. I want this one. I'm waiting for this one. You know what I mean? I'll take this hoodie, but it's going to be hot for the next couple months, so I'm going to fall back for now. I'll double back to pick up that WBC champion hoodie. And you see, that's a champion. This is not just no regular schmegula. You know, Pakistanian, no disrespect to them, but this ain't no, like, overseas hoodies, none of that. This is the real deal, Evander Holyfield. Use the code TBV. Get a discount, plus you supporting your favorite show that works 7 days a week to bring you boxing content. Moving on. All right, because I only wanted to, you know, let you guys know about Nick Ball and Lumido. Let me see what else was on that card. I didn't watch anything else on that card. So, we got to go to Alexis Rocha, who showed out. Let me tell you. It's crazy. I need to seriously start going with my first instinct. My first instinct was Lee Wood by decision. My first instinct was obviously Rocha by knockout. But I convinced myself that Anthony Young probably can go the distance, you know. But he did not. He did not. Rocha came out there a man on a mission and landing big shots. Big shots. It was only a matter of time, but that time came so quick. Bro, my man only lasted 5 rounds. That was crazy. It was a 12-round fight. I wasn't expecting that. I knew that, you know, Young, obviously, his box rec indicates he doesn't have the power. His box rec indicate he only had one step up in his life. You know, he only had one 10-rounder that didn't go 10. He ended up stopping Saddam Ali. You know, so all signs pointed to Rocha stopping him. But, you know, who doesn't love an underdog story? And it's like, yo, he upset the world once. He can do it again, maybe. He did not. Rocha looks good. Then turned around and called out the winner of Crawford and Spence. And then when Chris Mannix tried to tell him, hey, you know, I know that's what you want, but they probably going to be busy for the next year or at least the end of the year because of the rematch. He's like, I got a good team. So he's like, I want them next. So maybe he's going to try and enforce it, but he's only talking greasy so he could get step aside. There's no fucking way Rocha ruins the rematch for us between Earl and Bud. Yes, I said it right this time. Usually I say the same name twice, but I said it right this time. So he gets the stoppage over Anthony Young, and now this is 2 stoppages in a row back-to-back. He knocked out Ashish in 7, Young in 5. But both of these guys didn't have power. It's not like they're putting them in there with anyone with power. In your co-main event, you had Oscar Collazo or colazo, however you want to pronounce it, because collazo would be Spanish, colazo would be fucking English. I don't know. He's only 6-0, which means he had 5 fights when he went into this championship fight for the WBO world title in the minimum weight division, 105 pounds. And it started off pretty rough for him. You know, this guy, Melvin Jerusalem, he was pretty decent in the first 2 rounds. You know, he was able to keep Collazo off him using his timing. You know, eventually Collazo stepped up the pace and started putting in some major body work, pretty much like Alexis Rocha in the main event. And obviously that slowed down Melvin ridiculously, okay? It didn't look normal how quick Melvin stopped moving. He went from moving to not moving rapidly. Shout out to Collazo. He's going to be a problem. 105, I'm going to have to check my rankings because I know that Bam was at 105. Then he moved up. So he's not there anymore. Eric Rosa is there, the Dominican, right? That is with Sean Boxing and with Bob Santos. So I want that fight. DR versus PR, you gotta make that fight. But check this out. He wins the title. He announces that he's got a date in August in Puerto Rico. I'm just fucking praying it's a DAZN date. Not a only, because he's co-promoted by Miguel. So maybe he won the belt. Miguel tells DAZN, we're going to take him back home. If y'all not interested, we're going to do it off TV. I don't want that. If this motherfucker's on DAZN, we in there. We in Puerto Rico like a motherfucker. Y'all better meet me out there so I can show y'all a great old time in DR. I mean, in PR. But if we could go to DR, we could go to DR. We could catch the ferry to DR if you want to. You know what I'm saying? On our time off. But this is Eric Rosa, the Dominican. He was actually going all the way to like Thailand or some shit or some. Let me see if it shows up. If I hit news, because he went to go fight CP Freshmart, but then he had some issues. Now he's fighting them in Vegas. So let's see what happens. That's a great fight though. How long does Golden Boy take? Because now they got a champ. But the champ forced them to put him in that position. So is he could still be driving the car. Meaning, I did win the title. I don't want soft touches. I got legacy to fulfill. I got a plan that I'm trying to, you know, accomplish. And then he knows himself that for his people, if he beats a Dominican on that level, forget about it. That's huge as a Puerto Rican, man. That's huge. Like, it's a deep rivalry between us and them. If I don't even know when we had that, truth be told. I don't know when we had that. Maybe, I guess, in these divisions we've had it in the past. I'm not a historian, and you know I'm not a big 105. I just started 105, you know, with a couple of fights ago. I don't know. Point is, this is a perfect opportunity for Golden Boy and Sean Boxing, Bob Santos, to do something here epic and historic. Puerto Rico versus DR. Y'all know how it is when they do the baseball games, man. Don't act like y'all don't know. So, seriously, they need to jump on that before they drop the ball. That's a good, I like that. You know what I mean? Shout out to Eric Rosa. Because I do believe he already got his fight out here in Vegas. So he's got to win that first. But shout out to Collazo, who did that. 6 fights now, man. 6 fights already, a world champion. Already got a date. That's really what I like. And you also know why I like it. Because I'm a Caribbean dude. So if we could go work in the Caribbean, let's fucking do it. You know what I'm saying? Speaking of Caribbean, I did watch the MVP promotions card. Shout out to MVP for bringing out. The code is TBV. If that don't work, it's the Boxing Voice, the way you see it spelled right here on the television, all right? Jay? shout out to that announcer Jake guy. I don't know who she is. I ain't even look her up on IG because they kept throwing her IG. Let's see if we could find her. I think it was something like Sybil. Yup. Damn, that shit came up quick. Fucking algorithm. I never in my life seen her. Look, I don't even follow her. I literally only put SB. That's not even, that's, you know, but I don't mind the algorithm. I know a lot of people get scared of that. It's like, yo, you making my life easy. I don't really give a fuck. You feel me? But look, as you can see, oh, wait, you can't see. Let me minimize. I only put SIB, and she came up right away. I don't even follow her. I'm going to have to now, though, because she's in boxing. Before this, I didn't know her. So she didn't post anything from her show at MVP. Nope. Let me see if there's anything on her story. But I like her energy. Nope, that's crazy. All right, well, hopefully they tell us, you know, you're going to be a host. We need you to use your social media to kind of promote the brand. You feel me? Because that's crazy. She's got, as you can see, she's showing herself interviewing football players. Why wouldn't you show yourself interviewing some of the boxers? Okay, I didn't see that. There's something she has there, but that's real whack. But she did put this. Most valuable prospect, Sybil Scholes. Friday nights, this Thursday. Excited to announce I'm part of the most valuable prospects. Catch me live this Friday. So, point blank, she did a good job. There were people there that she had to interview that had no energy, didn't know how to be on the camera. She did a very good job getting them into what it was she was doing and getting them to talk on camera, which obviously they were horrible at doing. But shout out to Jake Paul. We're bringing this up because that was a good card, a damn good card. Let me go to that just to be refreshed, because I was going to bet on the main event, and they changed the opponent last minute, as you can see here on the MVP updates page. Ashton got a new opponent. The opponent he was facing was durable as hell and never had been stopped. And I was excited since Ashton was 8-8. 8-8 being 8 wins, 8 KOs. I wanted to see, was he going to be able to stop a dude that I seen before that was in there with, I think it was Alexis Rocha. And Alexis Rocha didn't stop him. So I was super duper excited. And I was talking to all my betting people about it. It didn't happen. And that's okay, because I did end up not seeing Ashton's fight. I do have to go back and watch it. That was an extremely long card. They're tripping. That shit started extremely late, and I watched everything else but him, which is super duper sad. But shout out to Jake yet again. Let me go to Ashton because I found me a new fighter. I like this kid. I don't know how far he will go because of his style. What's his name? Slive? Slive or some shit? Austin Slive. And he's small for the heavyweight division. But Ashton did get the unanimous decision, but it wasn't versus the dude I figured he'd get it versus. But here on the events page, and again, I got to spend some time on this card because this is great matchmaking. Like, Jamarl Pemberton, you guys know we interviewed this dude. He was in studio with us at the Fight Stars building one time. And, you know, bro, let me tell you, they're not playing, right? Because Mike Leonardi, who you guys... You know, if you're like a super TBV fan, you know Mike Leonardi. You met him through Fight Stars and through, you know, me moving to Las Vegas. After he became the director at Fight Stars, and obviously Patrick Oakes passed away, he got this job at MVP Promotions, Most Valuable Promotions, with Jake Paul as their director. Pemberton is his fighter. So walk with me here, right? Pemberton is his fighter before being with Jake. He's also got, I think it's like Victory Management. So he's a manager. So Pemberton is his fighter. You feel me? So he had to put Pemberton in with this guy here, Bryce Henry. And this is why our betting show is better than most betting shows, right? I get the call immediately from one of the community members saying, bro, Pemberton is fighting my guy. He's in my gym. So I go look him up. He sends me the box track. I go look him up. The dude ain't fought in like 2 years. And he's like, bro, he's going to knock him out. I'm like, bro, cat. You know what I'm saying? Cat. You saying that because he's in your gym. He ain't fought in 2 years. Dude's like, bro, sends me a fight. I get to looking at the fight, and I'm like, what the fuck you got me watching? It's a bare-knuckle fight. The kid took a bare-knuckle fight in between because he couldn't get a real fight. So now he got me intrigued. Like, yo, I'm telling you, it was his manager. You know, that, look. So he shows me the dude fighting bare-knuckle. Bodying somebody, bare knuckle. I'm intrigued now. I'm all over the internet looking for a line. There's no fucking line on this fight. I'm forced to watch this fight knowing Bryce Henry could get the upset because of the inside info and no way to make money on it. What does Bryce Henry do? I think in the second fucking round, puts Pemberton down. Who's the national champ winner? Pemberton. Who's got the crazy accolades? Pemberton. Homie went down in the second round and pretty much, you know, lost. So shout out to Bougie in Broward County for calling us and putting us on, because one day, you know, one of you guys are going to do that and that person is going to be on the line. Obviously, this wasn't a big enough fight. I'm sure these fights will make it to the line because Ashton had a line, but he was main event, and he's like the big Jake Paul fighter. Jake really got to get the shit popping. He got better going. Once he puts it on better, it'll probably start going globally. But I did want to shout out Jake Paul because, you know, this is better than Misfits. Let's be real. Like, shout out to KSI doing his thing, bringing new eyeballs, because I'm not knocking that at all. I love what he's doing, too, because he's bringing new eyeballs that want to become fighters, but they from that influencer world, you know. But Jake is giving the pre-existing fighters opportunities. The Bryce Henrys of the world that couldn't get a fight and had to fucking go do bare knuckle, Jake gave them an opportunity, man. I feel so vindicated when I told y'all he was the savior of boxing, when I was the one fucking backing him from the beginning. You dudes are a bunch of fucking haters that are blind. You need bifocals because he's doing big things, you know. This is just the beginning. They got another card now in August. The Zone only gave them 4 dates, and they spread it out throughout the whole year. So, you know, they got another one in August. Then they got another one, I think, like in December or some shit. But shout out to them because, look, Nestor Bravo's on the other one. Imagine what that means to Nestor Bravo to have Jake Paul in the ring announcing his next fight, saying his name. It's on social media. Like, I just like what he's doing. And if you don't, you know, I'm not going to knock you. I'm not going to call you names. But, you know, you probably need to wipe the coal out your eye, man, because Jake is out here giving dudes opportunities, and that's only one fight. I'm not even done. I actually stepped out to go smoke, so I don't got my computer to see the rest of the fucking card to give you the kid's name. I'm going to walk in and give you this kid's name because this guy is the one I'm really interested in. He's the heavyweight, and I like this kid. Let's see here. All right. His name is Miguel, let me see, Kevin Nunez, I think is his name. Yes. No, that's not right. Where is it? It was an 8-rounder, right? It was an 8-rounder.
I watched the Cuban too. Where is that fight? Was it? No. This is not it. Okay, here we go. Lorenzo Medina versus Angel Napolis. Great fight. Let me pull up his resume here. Show you this guy. Good kid. This fight, man, I like this fight. This kid was doing his thing. 18 years old. Y'all got to go watch this fight. It's on DAZN, man. Go back and watch this fight. 18 years old. Let me tell you right now who this kid is going to remind you of. David Benavidez. Honestly, because of the height, he probably needs to go get with Jose Benavidez Sr. Body type, everything. If you ever seen David Benavidez when he first started his career, this is David Benavidez. But if you a fan of this show, if you a fan of this show for like 5 years or better, y'all gonna see Doomy in the flesh. Like literally the dude fighting, like in the box rec, he don't look like Doomy. Fighting. In the ring with the beard, the hair, everything, the skin complexion, every fucking thing. He look exactly like Doomy. That being said, this kid could actually fight, man. He puts combinations together like Benavidez in the heavyweight division. He was the bigger man. He was like 230. The Cuban, who was sharp in the first round, the problem was the Cuban took the fight, I think, on like 4 days' notice. Drove up from Miami all the way to Plant. What was it said? It's a Caribe to Orlando. So it was like 4 hours, 5 hour drive. And took the fight. He looked older. Cuban was like 26 years old, but he looked older than 26. No bullshit. But this kid Medina, check out the fight. Like I said, it's on DAZN. It's worth a watch. It's only like an 8-rounder. He don't get the stoppage, but the Cuban was tough. Obviously, that Cuban school of boxing. You know, plus you see in the corner, the trainer that the Cuban had is the trainer that worked with Teofimo Lopez. That lives in Florida. You guys know him. I just can't remember his name. I think it's like Jorge or George something. You know what I mean? He's got the same complexion as me. He's short. Got the like salt and pepper going on. But that's a heavyweight to check out, man. That's a heavyweight to check out. At 18, bro, they could just keep putting him on those type of shows, building him. He's still super duper duper young. And yeah, man, he's got to get a little bit more serious in, like, the sense that, like, he thinks it's a sparring session. So he's in there. He's telling the dude, like, come on. And he's putting himself in the corner, and he wants to do inside fighting. But the Cuban is like, man, I'm not trying to do that. But it's like, yo, I'm not going to get you so you could do your Cuban footwork and make this a boring fight. I'm going to wait for you right here. We're going to get the people what they want. And I get that, but he's letting the dude land unnecessary shots. And what happens when there is a dude that doesn't play to the crowd and doesn't come meet you in the corner and doesn't give you the ability to fight your fight, which is an inside fight? Outside of that, the kid is super fun to watch. Again, reminds me of David Benavidez, Porky Medina with the combination. He throwing threes and fours in the heavyweight division. He liked that inside shit, so. Shout out to Jake, man. Shout out to Jake. Also on that card, Bob Santos was out there. There were some big names there, too. We would have to check on their social media. I forgot. Jake brought him out. He had Amanda down there. He had a few people out there. I was like, damn, I should have went. You know what I mean? But Kevin Brown, the Cuban, he's moving at a fast pace and he's flying under the radar. But I don't know. Yesterday, he looked good in spots. I felt like he had a little bit of trouble and adjusted, which is what you want to see him do. But I also felt like he was small. He seemed very thin compared to his opponent and his opponent was putting a lot of pressure on him. And I didn't know if that's because his opponent felt like, bro, this kid is small. He did seem small for the division. Without a doubt. But he did his thing. And he's definitely not typical Cuban. And it's funny because I don't know if they made that up or he said that, but he was like, they're trying to be better than the last crop of Cubans, which were the Loras and the Loras, the Rigos, the Gamboas. You know, this crop of Cubans, the Robeses, the Morels, you know, the Kevin Browns, they're on the fast track. You know, as you can see, Morel been a WBA super for a while. Robese is already a world title champion. So, yeah, they're on the fast track. Not to say that Rigo wasn't, because Rigo did it in 12 fights. But once again, shout out to Oscar Collazo, who did it in fucking 6 fights. But it is the minimum weight division, right? There's not a lot of grown men, right? Like, how many dudes you know when you go to work in the morning, how many dudes you know weigh 105 pounds? Like, how many dudes on average do you walk by that fucking weigh 105 pounds? That's all. But shout out to Collazo. Hopefully, like I said earlier, hopefully that's not just a Miguel Cotto, Puerto Rico date for Collazo, and it's a DAZN date, because I'm not trying to go to Puerto Rico if DAZN isn't there. But if DAZN going to be there, are we out there? Fuck that. We're going to go see Anuel. We're going to go holla at Osuna. We're going to hit up Aguadilla. Go to the Junque. You feel me? We going to have a motherfucking time out there. So I hope they do that. Super interested in visiting Puerto Rico with DAZN if they happen to go. But moving on here, what else do I need to talk about on this Jake Paul card? I think that was it. Shout out to Kevin Brown, though, who got the win as well. And now, let's see. Let's talk about, obviously, let me show you that. Oscar De La Hoya meeting up with one Rolly Romero. Shout out to Rolly, who's getting himself a big fight, man. He got a big fight. But Oscar also took to social media to say that he's going to be meeting with Ryan and has 4 offers. So I don't know, does he really want Ryan to fight Rolly Romero? As you can see here, Rolly was at the Alexis Rocha fight. And I'm shocked, honestly, like, He only goes into character during the fight. Like, look, here, nothing flashy, no chain, no glasses, no fur, nothing. You know, just a night out on town to watch the fight. So salute Rolly. But yeah, man, hopefully him meeting with Oscar means it's official. You know, I like that fight for Ryan. I really do. What else? We got Eddie Hearn and the fact that, you know, he met up with he had a phone conversation with Devin. Devin called him to negotiate, a potential Regis Prograis fight. And then Devin doubled down and took to social media and reminded the world, hey, I am the one that contacted Eddie for a possible Regis Prograis fight, not the other way around. So salute to Devin, man, because a lot of people thought based off the Lomachenko fight that he would stay away from any punches. But that isn't the case. That isn't the case. He also got an invite from both Eddie Hearn and Regis Prograis to be at the fight, which is crazy, right? Because me and Danny were planning on going. Then the card ended up turning to shit, and we're not going. And now it looks like fucking Devin is going. But it is what it is. So this is Eddie saying, no, I didn't. Let's get it done. And this is him talking to Devin, because Devin is like, oh, I'm assuming Eddie called you and told you I was thinking about it. Oh, well, there goes the tweet anyway. I'm assuming Eddie called you. And Eddie's saying, nah, I didn't tell Regis, but let's get it done, meaning let's get you to the fight. Let's give you the accommodations and everything that you need so that you can be there. And Regis obviously also says something that I don't have that tweet ready for you, but he says something like, yo, come down and let me show you how Louisiana do it or whatever, you know. So basically he wants to show him that Southern hospitality. This is also Devin here just clarifying, like, you know, and for the record, I called Eddie about making a Regis fight. He didn't call me. So salute to the undisputed champ, showing that, you know, regardless of what people may think, he is still looking for the biggest and baddest challenges. It's funny because Regis is the more established champion, but I'm sure you're going to get a hater to say, oh, he ain't call out Matisse, though. You know what I mean? And it's like, yo, come on, man. Regis been in the division for hella long. Shout out to Leonard Sterling with the 5 quick. He says he wants to fight at Nottingham Forest football ground versus TBA Warrington first option. Lopez unification, but anyone at the football club is his dream. Okay, so they're going to give him a – it ain't going to be nothing big. Cool. Hawaiian Punch, we got to you. Mad Bet, $5. He says, your daily dose of Tankwell. If Tank was an author, what type of books would he write? Bedtime stories. Wrong one. No. There you go. That was funny. I got Keep It Moving, $2. What fights is bigger, Rolly versus Ryan or Tank versus Ryan? What? We'll see. Maybe that's why they want to do it, to have a comparison. We seen what Tank did with Rolly. Now we're going to see what Ryan does with Rolly. High and Low Sports Centrum, $2. The Boxing Voice is more. Shout out to you, champ. We appreciate you. I'm ready to take callers. If anybody wants to call in, feel free to do so. If you want to talk about this weekend's fights, if you want to talk about any of the action this week, feel free to do so. Excuse me. We have Discord open, Twitter Spaces available, and the landline, 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 one time to voice your opinion. If not, we'll be wrapping it up. This was your weekend recap, trying to bring you all the little news and notes and talk about this weekend's fights. But once again, the number to call above my head, 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 one time if you want to voice your opinion. Also, Twitter Spaces and Discord available, but you need to request if you want to speak. Yeah, I mean, they got to send him a contract, man, to prove that he's scared of him. You feel me? Let's see. All right. Well, it looks like we got no callers, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Nez GTO, Instagram and Twitter. Catch me on the next one tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 a.m. Eastern. We got High and Low Sports Centrum sending in another $2. Super J says, be the boxing voice. Be the boxing voice. Be factual. Be great. Salute to you, champ. I got numbers on the check-in. What up?
Hey, yo, mic check.
1, 2, 1, 2.
I had to get you before you got out of here, Ness, because I'm actually on the road. I pulled over real quick to tap back in. What's up with you, man? Good luck on the Sunday show. I'm going to have to listen on a podcast with this one. Bro, I wanted to call in. I'll probably wait till Monday to talk about how Michael Conlin and Okioli fucked up my parlays. And you called it. I re-listened to the betting podcast, the betting show, and you called it. You're like, I don't know. And
I even said he's chinny. It was fucking.
You
it was fucking Danny's
you
fault,
said
man.
That shit.
Danny's
oh
fault.
Oh my god, bro! But on my hedge bets, on the one when I had Cruz winning, I had Okioli winning or Okoli or however the fuck you pronounce his name. So it was just like, fuck, man. Like, you know, it was a little frustrating, bro. But look, I was let me just chop it up. Let me cook real quick. I was in the back call last night, right? Shout out back call. Shout out Jay Benavidez. And shout out C Dub. So I was like, we were like looking at Canelo's resume because supposedly Plant is being rumored to fight Andrade or Andrade. You know, we were just like, well, what's left for Canelo, man? Like, Canelo's 32. After the Benavidez fight, and let's say he does or doesn't get the Bivol fight, like, really, what is there left for him to do or fight? And I was just, bro, what happened to Andre Ward, bro?
What
He's 39 right now. He retired at 33, bro. He retired. That would be like Canelo retiring right now. It would be like, obviously, the crowds, the chatterbots, they'd be like, bro, he's ducking Benavidez. Like, he's ducking Chart. Like, there's so, like, Andre Ward ducked Canelo, bro. He saw him moving up. Canelo fought at 175 Kovalev in 2019. Andre Ward could have, like, taken a year off, maybe done a mandatory. He could have just done a mid-level fight and had Canelo right there.
Champ, don't let those back-call dudes, you know, like, make you believe things that aren't real. How could Ward duck a dude three divisions below him?
He was coming up.
No, he wasn't. Like, listen, when Ward was with Roc Nation, so was Cotto. Cotto's third fight on his Roc Nation deal was Canelo. So make it make sense. How you fight Canelo at 55, but Ward is ducking 155 pounder?
Ward retired in 2017. Canelo was fighting at 160. Like, there were rumors like that he was going to keep moving up to 168. So, like, Ward could have fought at 168. Canelo fought at 168 and 2 years later. Like, it was in the realm of possibilities to be like, all right, I'm going to just take a break. You know, he ran to the church. He ran to go be a preacher because he was scared of the Canelo smoke. And that's my take. Like, you know, that's because I was just looking at what's left. You know, what really is there for Canelo to, like, cement his legacy even more? And, you know, because, like, who wants to talk about Conlin, though? Like, I don't want to talk about my parlays that lost because of Conlin or Okioli and Rolly. I mean, come on, bro. If Rolly goes against Ryan, it's going to be a wrap. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
so you think Ryan beats him for sure?
I think Ryan beats Rolly Romero for sure. That's right off the bat. If that's how Barroso, if anything, somebody should throw like Barroso.
Did you ever? Did you know that Ryan and Rolly sparred?
I did not know that.
Do you still think the fight would be easy for Ryan, knowing now that Ryan and Rolly sparred, and most people think Rolly beat Ryan really bad in the spar?
I guess my question to that would be, when did they fight? Like, how long ago was it?
I think they were kids because Ryan definitely had the Sting headgear, which is like amateurs.
So we could say that's like sparring and that's like years ago, but like, you don't think Ward ducked Canelo? You don't think Ward ran away from the smoke at 33? Like, where was you at 33 to be like, all right, I'm going to go retire? Like,
I mean,
bro, I'm 31, and I'm
at 33,
like, I'm in my prime.
At 33, he did the same thing that Canelo did, right? Canelo was being you know, saying they were saying that he was ducking his boogeyman, which was Gennady. Meanwhile, Canelo up at that point had already fought two boogeymans in the southpaw in Austin Trout, then the southpaw in Laura. Then, you know, he fucking beat Canelo. So then it's like, no, you ducking Gennady. You ducking Gennady. Same thing for Ward. It was like Ward went through the whole Super Six, beat Frotch, Kessler. I mean, everybody. Then he gets out of there and it's like, you ducking Boutte. I think they never fought. Boutte ends up losing to Frotch, so he beats Frotch up. And then they like, oh, you ducking Kovalev, who's a division above you. So he moves up and beats that dude and then retires.
Right.
Like, he's a gold medalist. He won the Super Six, and I'm pretty sure he unified and undisputed, or just unified, because undisputed wasn't hot back then. He never fought Adonis. He fought, you know, Kovalev and his side of the street.
Look, and here, just to go off the layaway, right, because he took a two-year break. He fought Paul Smith, Sullivan Barrera, Alexander Brand before the Kovalev.
Yeah, but wait, you need context, so, like, champ. This is what I'm saying. Like, the back call goes off BoxRec. They don't know a lot of stuff. Like, they just read articles. Like, CYP's good at reading articles. You got to live through things. He took 2 years off because he was in a promotional contract with Dan Goosen, who was the brother of Joe Goosen, who used to be TGB Promotions before it was TGB Promotions. That dude been in the business forever. That dude had an ironclad contract, and it took Ward 2 years of legalities to get out of that. Listen, boxing was a lot tougher back in the day because people didn't have management. Mikey Garcia also, if you don't know,
had the same, yeah, he
needed,
had the same
needed problem. 2 years to get out of his contract as well. So Ward didn't retire conveniently. And think about that now with context. He took 2 years to battle to get free, signs the Rock, and went for the big fight versus Kovalev. His deal was literally, I've been out for 2 years, so give me Alexander Brand, who no one ever fucking heard of, Sullivan Barrera, who the hardcore thought was this up-and-coming Cuban that was about to kill everybody. And after that, it's Ward Kovalev 1, Ward Kovalev 2. Like, stop it, bro. And Kovalev was the crusher back then. The fuck is Canelo crushing that Kovalev ain't crushing? And yeah, granted, now, retrospect, you got Canelo knocking out the crusher, but he didn't fight the version. He didn't fight the version that Ward fought. Bro, let me tell you, we did a fucking appreciation night around that fight. Deontay Wilder came to my mansion party. Jordan Plant, Caleb Plant, Peter Quill. That shit was lit. And I'm not from the East. That was like 2016, bro. I mean, no, 27, I don't know, 2018, something like that. Or 16. The point is, that fight was big for the hardcores. Ward gave the world what they wanted. That shit was sold out. Clarissa was on undercard versus fucking Franchon Cruz, bro. Like, nah, stop listening to people that don't know this fucking sport. Bro, they just, like, a lot of those dudes just want to say they know. Go ahead.
Well, and look, like, I always fuck with Andre Ward. Like, I started, like, I rewatched his fight, but I started watching his fights live after that two-year break because I was like, bro, where is Andre Ward? And so I saw the Paul Smith fight, I saw the Barrera fight and the Brand fight, and I, you know, like you said, Undisputed really wasn't that hot, so it's just like, well, what big fight is left for Ward? And I don't know, man, I'm just thinking, like, you know, to tie back into
something else that those dudes don't even tell you. Ward was on such another level. And HBO was on his motherfucking jockstrap so much, they was trying to make Ward versus AJ, bro. And that's the only thing that was going to bring him out, was going up after 75 fighting AJ. You know, obviously AJ at the time was on fire, so no one believed it. And they didn't take it serious.
Well, and outside of that,
it was... the possibility of a UK fight with Carl Frodge rematch. Triple G duck who?
Ward. because Ward sent in that contract offer.
That's definitely something I'm not sure about, Ward sending a contract, but I know for sure that Triple G didn't want to make a catchway or move up. So if you want to call him a duck for not wanting to get out of his division, then yeah.
Mm.
He only wanted to move up for Gilberto Ramirez, Julio Cesar Chavez, and like another name, or Carl Froch, I think. He wouldn't move up for Andre Ward. Like, people know, like, if you that skill, how I'm going to move up and fight you. Like, I can move up for certain dudes, just like Canelo moving up for certain dudes. I mean, granted, he moved up for Bivol thinking he could beat him and lost. So, you see, certain dudes.
But numbers, like, I saw some clips of the doc. Okay.
Go ahead.
I saw some of the doc of Andre Ward, man, and that shit's going to be a snooze fest, bro. Like, and I'm just saying, bro, like, how are you going to retire at 33, bro? Like,
nah, man. You know, I guess because you ain't lived through it, bro. But nah, not for me. I'll let you go, though. But not for me, man. Andre Ward's career was insane. You know, these dudes ain't even doing what Ward did now, man. Like, even the ones that think they great, and they allegedly, like, on a fast track, they not even doing what Ward did. Like, when Ward took off, he took off. And he took off early, let me tell you. I think he took off at, like, 14 fights. He took off. Took off. Never looked back. Like, you know, you dudes just don't know the sport. And I'm not saying that to put you down. I'm just saying, like, you don't know. Like, I'm going to just look how far you got to scroll back. It's insane, bro. But we're going to go to the beginning. Keep in mind, this kid never lost. Since he lost in the amateurs. So he ain't lost since he lost a round in the amateurs. Because remember, he won gold in the amateurs. So let's take it all the way back, bro. And this is what I'm saying, right? So we're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In his seventh fight, he took on Darnell Boone. Darnell Boone is one of the hardest punching dudes in boxing. Anybody will tell you that. Anybody will tell you that. Ward got put down in the fourth round. He turns around and beats Boone. Derek Finley beats Finley. Jason Ravello, gold medalist for Dominican Republic, born and raised in Newark, New Jersey, beats him. Henry Buchanan beats him. Edison Miranda, tough than a motherfucker. The type of fight you don't even want to be in. You don't even want your boy in because Miranda throwing elbows. He just one of them fucking, I don't know if he African or Haitian or he just one of them tough dark motherfuckers. Okay. Then Mikel Kessler, the Viking WBC champ. We beat him. At the time, WBA, but you know, Kessler was so good he went on to win the WBC. Alan Green, another great fight. Not great. Another decent fight, Alan Green. Definitely decent fighter. Definitely ranked back then. Definitely a replacement for the Super Six. Sakyo Beak, a super duper tough. Come on. Go watch his fight with Sakyo Vega and then go watch Anthony Durrell's fight with Sakyo Beak. Arthur Abraham, huge German puncher. This dude was such a puncher that even when boxing, see, this is what I'm saying. This 2011, right? So, for Americans, we can't even watch Arthur Abraham. You understand what I'm saying? Like, 3 years before that, we can't watch Arthur Abraham because he's fighting in Germany. He's a puncher. He's bringing dudes over there. There's no way for us to legally watch it without an illegal stream on, like, a Sky Sports or a Box Nation back then. Okay? Arthur Abraham was a big puncher. Such a puncher that he made it to American television. Carl Froch is on his resume as well. This is Ward's resume, okay? Chad Dawson as well. Now, I didn't like that because I was a big Chad Dawson fan. Obviously, they did this catch weight. Chad should have never did it. You know, Chad moved down for this fight because Ward was the doll. And again, this dude's telling you Ward this, Ward that. Ward was the A-side always. He was the gold medalist. He was the one HBO spent all the big bucks on. Then after that, he fought another Dominican, and Edwin Rodriguez, and beat the shit out of him. I remember that left hook he landed on him. That shit was horrible. My man, mouth was wide open, saliva everywhere. Then he made history and fought Paul Smith on BET in the Oracle. Devin still ain't get the fight in the Oracle. Look how many times he fought in the Oracle. He fought in the Oracle versus Paul Smith on BET. Then, look. He fought in the Oracle versus Chad Dawson. He fought in the Oracle so much that the black fighter was being criticized for getting hometown advantage, and they stopped letting them fight at home. Can you believe that? Meanwhile, the Mexican, they praise him for being able to sell. Ward was literally banned from the Oracle because they said it's biased and Ward gets too much hometown love. I'm telling you, you have to live through this shit. Boxing was ridiculous back then, bro. So then after Paul on BET, he takes the HBO deal. He beats Sullivan Barrera, Alexander Brand. That's his deal. Three fights with a rematch. I'm a fight your boogeyman. Y'all think I'm scared. HBO money was on Ward. But obviously, Kathy Duva, she got this guy, Eastern European. He's the crusher. The world thinks he's the crusher. So now HBO needs a fight. They got the American gold medalist. He got to move up to make the super fight. The world is saying Ward is scared. So they offer him this three-fight deal with a rematch clause. And boom, your man wins it and retires. Like, what's wrong with that? 32 fights in. What's wrong with that? Amazing career. Finished off as the defending IBF, WBA, and WBO champ. Again, back then, being undisputed wasn't what it is now. Yeah, he fought on BET, bro. He fought on BET versus Paul Smith, which is three of the Smith brothers. Paul Smith is Liam's brother. That's what I'm saying. Like, y'all just don't fucking know, and it's aggravating that y'all talk about people like that without knowing, bro. It's like, why? Why would you say something about someone's career if you don't really know what the fuck is going on? You know, even Broner, bro, he had a decent career in the beginning, man. You know? He just got ahead of himself. He had amazing opportunities. You know, if he could have been disciplined, he would have been one of the greatest 135-pounders ever. Well, I guess not ever, because, you know, right now we got so many in our era, like Shakur and Devin and Tank. But he would have been one of, for sure. At 35, he was a fucking killer, man. He was a killer. To this day, not even Edwin Valero, who everybody dick rods, beat DeMarco better than Broner. To this day, DeMarco done came back, fought on ESPN, and beat the shit out of Stantillion and got robbed. Like, bro. Georgie Porgy, what up?
Yo, Ness.
Yeah.
Brother, listen. This is a Georgie you guys never heard before. I don't want to come here in a low note. But I've been with my girl for 18 years, and she just passed away.
Get the fuck out of here.
I need TBB more than ever, Ness.
Oh,
I need TBB more than ever, brother.
I'm so sorry, my brother.
Me. I need a lot of people come here and pray. I see a lot of religious people. If you guys can send a pray my way, I would appreciate it. I just want to say to the spirit of my girl, baby girl, I love you. Like I told you every day, you're the queen of the world. Mm. And I can't wait to see you again, baby. I love you so much. If you got a 10-count belt that you can ring for her, I would appreciate that. And everybody out there, support the channel, donate, participate on TVB. Thank you, Ness.
Georgie, man, my condolences, my brother. I will text you in a bit so you can have my number and hit me up if you need to talk. You heard?
Thank you, brother.
All right. Don't hang up. So fucking bitch. Whatever. I'll have to have it written down here. That is horrible news, man. I am sorry for my friend Georgie. I've been knowing Georgie now over a decade. And that's some sad news. Let's play a 10 count for his wife. Yeah, condolences to Georgie and his family. Anybody that's been listening to this show for a number of years, you know that he's been part of this community for 10 or better. And he only, you know, tries to uplift, you know, our community and the sport. He only wants what's best. He's a little radical with his calls, but that's what people love. So definitely, if you are religious, send some prayers his way, man. He definitely sounds like he's going through one. I text him and still no answer, so let me double check this. Yeah, we'll see. I do hope my friend feels better. We going out to JT. What up?
Yeah, what up, Ness?
How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't hear what happened with Georgie, but shout out to him, and I wish the best for whatever his situation he got going through. You know, so what I was talking about, Andre Ward, you know, one of them callers just called in and said, Andre Ward dubbed Canelo. I highly doubt that, you know. Don't quote me on it, but I think his last loss was at 12 years old. From the amateurs to his professional career. Mm-hmm. I think Ward retired because he was financially stable. And when you get at a certain point where me personally, not thinking for the man, I just think he was at the point where he discussed it with his wife, team manager. And I think he set himself up for success to the point where he didn't have to keep fighting in the later years. So I highly doubt that he ducked Canelo, trust me. And even if there was the fight, not right now, but a little when Ward was a little young, I think if he's 39 now, I think he's too old. But even at 36, I think Ward would have touched up Canelo, honestly. But what's going on, Ness? Y'all heard rumors said that Rolly beat up Ryan in sparring, right?
Yeah.
Years ago, I saw that footage. A lot of people thought Ryan won that. I actually thought Rolly won that, and I was on a bad call saying that I had Rolly beating Ryan, but since Ryan made this change, this coach change, I got a lot of respect for Derrick James. I think Derrick James can help Ryan with some of his defensive kinks that he has in his arsenal, and that will make Ryan a whole lot, not a complete, but a better fighter. So I will have to change that pick. Cause like I said, I had Rolly beating Ryan, probably stopping him. They both got a lot of holes in their game. I just think Rolly's just a little more aggressive than Ryan is, honestly. But I would still wave it as a 50-50 fight. I guess I lean more to Ryan now due to the coach change. Besides that, so they're negotiating for a fight right now, right?
I mean, according to the fighters, the fight is done. According to Oscar, he still got to meet with Ryan and present him 4 offers. So I don't know what's going on, man. Let's hope Ryan continues to drive be the driver in the vehicle of his career and does pick Rolly. Because Rolly may not have that title if he doesn't fight him now.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a crazy thing. I don't think he need to work with Derrick James, get a camp out. I think he need to fight Rolly like his second fight, get another fight behind it. But if that fight is made already, I'm still waving it as a 50-50 fight. Because I don't think Derrick James could fix his holes in one camp. You know what I'm saying? When you get in a fight, you've been fighting so long, sometimes changing trainers doesn't make adjustments until you get into a few more camps with them. But that's a good fight for both of them in their career at this time. They both just came off losses to Tank, even though Rolly got a controversial decision win over this guy. But I just think that still will be a good fight. It will be a good Ryan's still a good pay-per-view attraction, and Rolly will talk himself to win over some fans, so make it an exciting fight. But besides that, what else the topic was, or that's just basically what it was on?
Just this weekend's fights, pretty much, champ. Weekend recap.
Okay. Also, don't worry about it. I'll ask you about that later, to you about. But don't worry about it. But besides that, that's all I got, man. All
right, champ. Appreciate you checking in. Spider Rico, Oregon. If you haven't already subscribed to the YouTube channel, stop acting stingy. Please go ahead and subscribe. It's going to help with the visibility. We need those numbers. That's how we're going to get those bigger name guests for you. We are going to be having more guests on. We're starting to schedule. What's going on, Spider Rico?
What's up, guy?
What up?
I got one for the team. Rest in peace to my man's wife.
Word. Yeah.
Big team, that's we. Big dream, that's me. Real hungry, just got to eat. Real skinny, stay on my feet. That's 10 toes. Shout out to my big brothers. They stay down. They ain't never toe. Big punches, I'm taking those. I never fold. Tell big fish, I'm big chin. Born to win. All American. Yeah. TBV. I made that right now today for y'all. They be telling me to do the rap, you know. I can't believe my man. What happened to you, bro? I'm sorry. It hurt me to hear you. I listen to you all the time. I like your calls. Yeah. Andre Ward is the man, but when you're the best, you got to do the most. And he stopped. Because maybe he's seen what happened to Adonis Superman Stevenson. I mean, Adonis was really the Superman. And he got put in a coma. And so that was really who Oak Ward was supposed to fight. But he didn't. And look what happened to him. And I think that's what made Andre Ward stop fighting. And that's what I call him to say.
Right.
Peace and love. Peace, y'all.
Yeah, bro. And what happened of Adonis Stevenson? People don't even talk about him. Like, he was one of the biggest punchers back then. You know, people were calling him Superman Stevenson. And, man, the minute that he's not fighting anymore, people completely forgot about him. And I was at the WBC convention one time when the accident was, like, not the accident because it was a fight, but, you know, when it was still fresh, bro, he was not good. Like, he's doing better now than he did a few years ago. He was not good, you know what I mean? So this is not an easy sport, you know what I mean? One punch can change every fucking thing. But we are at 170,304, which isn't bad. We picking up some steam, but we definitely need to keep it moving. We're trying to get to 100,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, tell a friend to tell a friend that we rocking out every single day, and we need your guys' support. Orlando, what up?
Oh, what's good, Ness? You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, goodness. Georgie, I'm so sorry for your loss, bro. That's terrible news. Sorry for your loss. Ness, I know you said you would take suggestions. I just got a quick call about things for the channel. That little thing you just did with Andre Ward was fire, man. I think you, like, maybe, I don't know how you would incorporate it, but if you just chose random great fighters of the past and went through, like, their resumes like that, I think that's real dope, bro. I'm sitting here listening to that, and I'm like, wow, I ain't know a lot of that. So, but yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, whatever you guys need, bro. You ask, I'll do it without a doubt. But no, I mean, you know, it's not going to be as easy for everybody. Ward is just a guy that I pretty much watched his entire career. So the history on Ward is not difficult. It's like Benavidez. We've watched Benavidez. That's why I'm telling y'all about that kid, Medina. Let me get his first name. Fuck. All right, so I lost that already. But, yeah, that kid, Medina, the heavyweight that fought on the Jake Paul card, he's something to look at just to keep an eye on him. His name is Lorenzo Medina. Just to keep an eye on him in case, you know, he pans out. He's only 6'2". Remember, Brian Jennings was 6'2". So, you know, that's not the biggest heavyweights. But he's definitely a combination puncher. But, all right, my friend, thank you for calling in. I appreciate you. And definitely appreciate you, you know, liking the Andre Ward little bio. But we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Catch us tomorrow morning. Same bat time, same bat channel. That is 6 a.m. Pacific Standard, 9 a.m. Eastern. Peace.